The nature of 18th century warfare, which tended to be less brutal, it's the era of armies marching off, facing one another. 18th century wars were largely of armies confronting one another, maneuvering around into position, having a battle, and then moving back again, so that you don't have the great bloodlettings that you had in the 30 Years' War. There was some improvement in medicine and hygiene, though they are still both frightful by 20th century standards. The main reason one thinks for the growth of the population was an agricultural revolution which allowed greater production of food, new food sources that led to a heartier diet for the population. The result was that population pressures increased the demand for goods, initiating a period of trade that would greatly increase the economic power of this middle rank of society. The growth of wealth in this middle rank of society then would create tremendous tensions. For one thing, this middle rank of society wanted some sort of recognition from aristocracy above it, began to clamor for greater access to government positions, a general sense that this is where talent was. These were the people who were changing society. These were the movers and shakers, not this old titled aristocracy that seemed to be increasingly parasitic. So tensions in this regard, but also tensions below, because many of these people of the middle rank had bought aristocratic estates during the course of the 18th century, and when they did, they began to want to exercise the traditional privileges of aristocracy that came with the ownership of these estates. One of the central problems of the French monarchy, indeed of monarchy in the West, was a growing disparity between the economic strength of this middle rank of society and their weak political and economic standing. This proved to be a source of real frustration and tension in continental Europe, but particularly in France. Finally, the most numerically significant component of society, of course, was the peasantry. It was everywhere the largest component of society. Everywhere it was the poorest, the politically weakest element of society. The conditions of the peasantry varied widely as one crossed the continent from Western Europe, where serfdom had largely vanished by the 18th century, certainly eroded or transformed into, instead of having to perform services for the manorial lord, these old feudal dues and services had been transformed largely into rental payments. To German Central Europe, where serfdom still certainly existed, peasants existed in different areas of Germany in different conditions of bondage. Serfdom in Germany, in the German states, however, serfs were for the most part bound to the land. They could not be bought and sold. They could not be alienated from the land. In southwest Germany, on the frontiers of France and the Swiss cantons, one sees an almost free peasantry, not unlike the French peasantry had become by the end of the 18th century. But as one moved beyond the Elbe River, the peasants remained, with rare exceptions, feudal serfs, as I said, bound to the land, subject to the landlord's system of justice, and hardly protected by state law. Finally, conditions were far worse in Russia. There, peasants remained as feudal serfs, but unlike the serfdom that existed in Central Europe, and despite the efforts of Catherine the Great to curb the practice, peasants, serfs, souls as they were called by the Russian aristocracy, could be bought and sold, could be alienated from the land. Indeed, serfdom actually increased during the 18th century and even under Catherine the Great, since she turned over 1 million acres of crown land to the aristocracy and encouraging them to free the serfs, which an offer they did not exactly take up with enthusiasm. So as one looks at this society across Europe, we're talking about a society of estates, of ranks, a society for which tradition, ritual, were the hallmarks. This is the way it's always been done, was the key. But in the 18th century, this fairly static society began to be put under enormous strain. Enormous strain because of the growth of population, the growth of wealth coming from trade and from manufacturing, creating new sources of wealth, and an increasingly literate population, especially in this middle rank of society, who are beginning to demand fundamental changes in the social order and, by implication, the political order as well. And that's a subject that we'll take up next time.